The Guardian.
I'm Lucy Lamble. Welcome to the Global Development Podcast. This episode looks at the challenge of getting more girls into education.
I think education is vital for any country if it's going to be successful. And there are millions and millions of children out of school as we speak who don't have the chance to learn. But within that, we know that of those children, it's most likely to be girls who are missing out.
At the current rate of change, for girls in sub-Saharan Africa, we won't see the first generation of girls who universally go to primary and lower secondary school until into the next century, 2111.
So girls are by far the worst affected in conflict situations. Only around 4% of adolescent girls complete lower secondary school.
In this podcast, I visit rural communities in southern Zimbabwe to investigate some of the obstacles that are keeping girls out of education. And I speak to those leading programmes that are aiming to make a difference.
I'll give you one example of a girl that kind of like sets out, showcases exactly how we do. She's called Rehema.
Nasikiwa Duke is the programme manager at the NGO CAMFED in Tanzania. She supports young women through CAMFED's alumni network known as CAMA and is recalling the experience of Rehema, one of the girls who came through the scheme.
She realised that one of the girls was not attending school for about 2 or 3 weeks, so she reported to the teacher mentor to see if she's also aware of this situation. She realised that the girl is not going to school, but not because she's sick or anything. The girl told her, "My mother wants to marry me off." "Why?" "Because she said she cannot take care of me anymore." So the teacher said, "What actually is the reason?" Her mother is saying they are living in poverty, the school fees and all other costs are too much for her to bear. So the teacher said, "Okay, actually tell the girl to come back to school and we will see how we'll support her." A week later, the girl came back to school. The girl continued at least for a term, and then later she dropped out again. Rehema made the follow-up and the mother said, "Well, you supported me then, you don't support me now." And the only thing I can do is for her to get a husband. So, you know, she has someone to take care of her.
According to the Global Partnership for Education, 63 million girls around the world are out of school. The reasons for this are complex and often country-specific. Professor Pauline Rose is director of the Research for Equitable Access and Learning Centre in the Faculty of Education at Cambridge University.
There might not be any schools for them. Their schools are just more likely to be destroyed. So where there are only all girls' schools, in Pakistan and Afghanistan, for example, they can be the direct target of conflict. Girls can also face physical violence on the way to school. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, over half of girls report that they've been physically assaulted on the way to school or in other situations, which means that it's unsafe for them to go to school. Girls themselves can be part of the conflict, that in some West African countries, around 3/4 of child suicide bombers are actually female. And we forget that they are actually also caught up in the conflict themselves. Syrian refugees living in Jordan are far more likely now to be getting married earlier. They've 18 times more likely to get married early, partly because of a consequence of these security issues.
This was also the case for the girl supported by Rehema, the young woman in CAMFED Tanzanian alumni network, Asikiwa.
When they realised that she was already processed into that initiation ceremony to get her to be married off, now they had to step up and call even more government leaders and local authorities, the executive officers, the ward councillors in the village, to actually sit down and see how we can make sure this girl does not drop out again. And right now, that girl is back in school. And the mother has joined the parent support groups. She's now advocating for more parents to change and not seeing poverty. Yes, it is a barrier, but if we pull up the efforts together, we can actually fight it.
At Gomatutu Primary School near Svi Shivane, I meet Ethel Kufar. Ethel works as an education programme facilitator for the Improving Girls' Access Through Transforming Education programme, known as iGATE. Supported by DFID's Girls Education Challenge Fund, the programme aims to reach 100,000 marginalised girls from 467 schools located in four provinces in Zimbabwe. Ethel explains that some schools don't yet provide the most fundamental facilities for girls.
When you look at this school environment, is it friendly to the purpose? Is it friendly to the girl child? Is it friendly to the boy child? That's when we look at the girl-friendly toilets and the issue of menstrual hygiene management that needs to be supported by the school development committees and the school heads.
And when girls don't have the resources for sanitary products, they simply don't go to school.
My name is Beauty Ganyani. I work for Zimbabwe National Family Planning Council as community distributor. The major challenge that we are facing as mothers group in the ramp making is that we don't have enough money to purchase the material for ramp making. Ramps, basically, these are reusable menstrual pads. So these are man-made pads, especially the handmade pads. They are made by hands using those threads and needles. Then these ramps, we need material to make these ramps, such as fleece material and the waterproof material to make these ramps. So at the moment, due to drought, we can't afford to purchase these materials because many families, they are focusing on buying food, mealy meal, and relish for their family members.
Another very practical barrier to girls attending school is the distance a girl may have to travel. One very popular solution I witnessed in Zimbabwe has been providing bikes for girls to get to school. Fiona Mavinga leads the Zimbabwean branch of CAMA.
Indeed, distance to school is a challenge. I remember at my former school that I went to in rural Wedza in Zimbabwe, the parent support groups that Nasikiwa referred to came together and built a house to make sure that girls have safe accommodation, the girls that were coming from long distances. And one of the mothers, the leaders of mothers of the parent support groups, volunteered to become a hostel matron for that group, volunteering her time and making sure that the girls, while they are there, they are safe. I think this has been the response mechanism to address that across Zambia and Tanzania as well, where we have, you know, a lot of community hostels that are being supported by parents working with together with CAMFED.
Now a lawyer, Fiona was herself one of the girls supported by CAMFED when it was set up in 1993. A network which started with just 32 young women and which has grown to more than 55,000.
Picture me 12 years ago when I started working as a lawyer in a law firm with 13 lawyers, 12 who were males and only one female. And picture me 12 years before that, I was this girl growing up in rural Zimbabwe, waking up at 4 a.m. every morning with my grandmother to go and sell vegetables so that we can raise money for food, we can raise money for school stationery, and my mother in turn trading dried fish for maize, which she also later on sold to able to raise fees for myself. Many times we went without food. So many times I was at risk of dropping out of school. My life, really, of a girl struggling to maintain her grip on an education is, as you know, not so different from millions of girls with a background of poverty. And when I think of myself now and the life of my friends that I grew up with in the same village as me, our lives are totally different just because of one thing, an education.
Julia Gillard, the former Prime Minister of Australia, is the board chair for the Global Partnership for Education.
Well, it's partly about conflict and fragility and the capacity of their nations to offer education. It's partly about poverty. It's about cultural attitudes, that if you're a very poor family and can only afford to send one child to school, then it is the boy who goes. It's about early marriage and perceptions of what girls' life roles are going to be and consequently how much education they need.
As Nasikiwa explains, poverty creates a ripple effect that can lead to psychological challenges.
The psychosocial challenges are many, and one of them is self-esteem, which is most of the cases being affiliated to issues around poverty, to issues around the community acknowledging your value, community accepting you, being listened to, having people who actually seeing you as a person with potential. You might have parents, but not understanding the worth of a child having education. So we have to make sure that we have that understanding in the community that we work with, but also the children to see the value in themselves, because that will give them a push to excel.
Okay, my name is Prudence Surumba and I'm turning 19 on 31 May. I'm part of the team, the defending champion of the Coca-Cola tournament. I play center back. I think it's because I'm intelligent. I think fast. So, you know, you have to be someone who thinks fast to clear the ball, because you'd be the only person who the whole team would be depending on.
Prudence is from Chidiyama Kondo High School near Mfingo in southern Zimbabwe. As well as being a star footballer, she is bright and confident and hopes to continue her education. But as ever, money is an issue.
If I pass well, I'd like to go to the university, study law. That is if my points get well. My older sister is now wants to go to university and my older brother is just staying at home. If things go well with my father, maybe she will go. The issue is on money.
So what are the routes available to get more girls into education? Ethel has been working with the community in Gomotutu, helping them to set up their own support groups.
So we have seen that we have capacitated these community members. They can do some of these fundraising issues on their own without the support of external donors. The impact of IGET, we have seen that a girl child, they are being re-enrolled in school. Parents, they now afford to pay, some parents who are in the village savings and lending groups, they now afford to pay school fees for their pupils. Okay, the girls, they're saying they now have confidence. They can do activities like poems, dramas. Some of them, they are performing very well in class. And the parents, they're saying, you've enlightened us. We can now afford to send our schools, to send our children to school. We now afford to buy our school uniforms for our kids. So I think we're making some impact.
Beauty Ganyani helps run one of the Mothers Group's initiatives.
Okay, Seva, this is a Mothers Group.
As the Mothers Group, we conduct door-to-door awareness campaigns on the importance of education. Since the inception of IGET in 2013, we have managed to re-enrolled 7 students, 4 from secondary school, then 3 from primary. Okay, of the 4 pupils that re-enrolled at secondary level, they were having problems of menstrual hygiene. So when they re-enrolled to school, they were supplied with menstrual pads, these reusable menstrual pads.
Like IGATE, CAMFED works closely with the community.
One of the things that we do is making sure the community sees the value of a girl going to school, because then they will take the responsibility to make sure that she goes and stay there. So we have in collaborations with parents, with local leaders, government leaders, chiefs, especially in Zimbabwe, we get them engaged. But also getting engaged in partnerships with government at the highest level of policymaking and influence to make sure that there is a support from the ground up to the national level. We make sure that there is a peer support, especially to the young girls who are going to school, to make sure they have someone to confide in, someone whom they can rely on for advice, for support, because sometimes there is not that direct support, especially in psychosocial issues when it comes to the family level.
as well as chairing the board of the Global Partnership for Education, Julia Gillard is also patron of CAMFED. She values their grassroots networks approach, but is also working on the bigger picture, fostering support at national and international level.
It's a very individual model of change where girls themselves are in the lead, but a growing and sustainable model of change because the evidence is each girl who's been supported tends to support at least two or three more girls, so it's got great growth. GPE, the Global Partnership for Education, works on a whole systems basis. We fundamentally believe that if you are going to give children a chance, then you have to have a high quality education system that offers equity and learning. So every child gets to go to school, the schools are of high quality, the system functions well and children learn. And so we work with developing country governments, we work with stakeholders within country. So it's, you know, moving the big levers of change.
At the Girls Education Forum held in London in July this year, the focus was on working collectively to get girls in school. Justine Greening, then the UK Secretary of State for International Development, is now Education Minister.
We particularly want to focus on those girls who may have already missed out, but we don't think it's too late for them to learn, and we want to put some investment into those girls who are most likely to be out of school to help them still get an education.
So today you committed 100 million. Over what period?
This will be over the next 8 years, up to essentially just beyond 2020. And what we'll be doing is focusing on girls who may have never been in school in the first place and have missed out, say, on primary school.
While the Millennium Development Goals got more children into primary schools, the new Sustainable Development Goals will try to tackle both quality and access for those that are still out of school.
The purpose of sitting in school isn't to simply sit in something called a schoolhouse, it's actually to learn. I think from that MDG approach, we now know as a global community that we've got to focus on access and learning at the same time. We know more about who is most at risk of getting left behind, and obviously it is the girls, particularly the most impoverished girls, who are at most risk of getting left behind. We're clearer than we used to be about the impact of conflict and crisis and some of the ways we can support children and their families in humanitarian crisis so they still get education. I think it's about getting all that we've learned and now better resourcing what works so that we are making more and more change.
That's all for this edition of the Global Development Podcast. You can listen to all our podcasts on theguardian.com/global-development or on iTunes, SoundCloud and all podcasting apps. My name is Lucy Lamble and the producer is Carrie Stewart. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.